It's time for Caffeinated Comics, a lively discussion and debate on comics, film, television, and collectibles, all fueled by the magic of Frappuccinos. Caffeinated Comics is sponsored by Chimeras Comics. Chimeras is your one stop for comic books, graphic novels, hero clicks, Magic the Gathering, and more. Explore the fantastic at Chimeras Comics. And now, here's your hosts, John and Steven.
Thank you, this is Caffeinated Comics. I'm your host, John Clark. With me, as always, is my co-host,
Steven Brown.
We are not really drinking coffee now. We're actually eating sandwiches and pickles and hors d'oeuvres. This is kind of an unorthodox show. We have no topic. We do have a guest.
A very special guest.
I'm very excited about this guest. This is a veteran of the old audio commentary podcast.
Oh, no shit.
Yes, this guest did X-Men 3 with us way back. I have not seen you since I moved from New York.
Yeah.
But great stand-up comedian who is headlining Zanies, which I found out after we left the Morality of the Jedi panel, because he's playing at the Rosemont Zanies right next to the convention center. Mark Normand is here.
Hey. Thanks for having me.
I assume there's applause, like the people who are listening applause after we announce a guest.
I don't think anybody applauds. People are in their earbuds and they're cute. You think they're just going, hey, this is my guest.
That's what I'd be doing.
And they're all fired.
An applause sound bite wouldn't be bad.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, that's a one person sound. Yeah. Yeah, I keep trying to find that in the library and then I just find 900 boings.
Yeah,
you gotta. It's great if you want to do a Z Morning Zoo. That's
right. You got to go YouTube. Just YouTube it every time.
Yeah, but
fuck it.
Bob, Mark, welcome.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thanks for having me in your beautiful Illinois home. This is unbelievable.
It is a beautiful home.
Yeah, but you said that about my last home.
Well, that was up for Astoria. That was unbelievable. I mean, this guy can pick out a house.
You got good taste in house, John.
Yeah.
Let it be said.
It's a gift I need to use once a decade.
That's right. There you go.
Right, right. It's amazing. I mean, I wish the folks at home could see. Go to the website. No. Well, but it's just this Pleasantville-esque neighborhood, clean lawns, white people, blue skies. Amazing.
There is a lot of white people in this town.
Yes, but you opened a shop here.
Oh, yeah, because I know white people have money. I'm a businessman, John. I mean,
they're the ones.
Yes. They are the ones.
Yeah. But Mark, you've had a couple of really good years. I've said this before, is it's been long enough since I moved out here, since I did stand-up, that about every 10 days I see someone I know on TV.
Oh, that's fun.
And sometimes the name of the show is their name.
Right,
which
right.
is weird, and sometimes they just pop up. But you've been on Conan twice.
Been on Conan twice,
You've had a Comedy Central half hour.
That's true.
You have a CD out.
Yes, sir.
You're going to do all the plugs at the end of the show.
I think you nailed most of them.
There you go.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, you know, hard work. Kept my head down and paid off. The half hour was terrifying. I did Last Comic Standing as well.
You did Last Comic Standing?
Yeah. I saw the Last Comic Standing.
Oh, really?
I was on two episodes, and I got food poisoning on Last Comic Standing.
On Last Comic Standing?
The worst timing of all time. Just brutal. It was the hardest week of my life. I did the album on Monday, or the album on Friday, Saturday in Wisconsin. I had some Thai food, which you shouldn't eat in Wisconsin. Apparently, I got food poisoning. Flew out to L.A. to do the second round of Last Comic Standing. I got passed on the first round doing the semis. Had food poisoning, puking, bags under my eyes, distended belly, diarrhea, the whole thing, white tongue. It was brutal. And Roseanne, because I did really well the first show, and the second show I did okay, and Roseanne goes, "What happened? You look terrible." And I go, "I got AIDS." Kills. It's a huge laugh. And then Keenan Ivory Wayne goes, "Yeah, your material's great, but you got no confidence." And I go, "Thanks, Damon. That killed." And they didn't leave any of it in. And they kicked me off the show. So, yeah.
It's
just me on TV looking like ass. Yeah. Then,
with no explanation or context.
Exactly.
That's got to be really frustrating.
Look at this pasty, ugly guy.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of Last Comic Standing is that. Hey, look at this freak.
That's true, yeah. But I'll tell you, telling Roseanne Barr you have AIDS is a pretty surreal experience, you know?
How many people can even say that they've done that?
Exactly.
No. I wouldn't even have thought of to do that.
No.
Maybe Tom Arnold. Right. Maybe.
And that would have been in a much more somber tone.
Yeah.
I got to tell you something, Roseanne.
Right. So yeah, then I flew, that was on Tuesday, then I flew to Boston to do my half hour on Thursday, so I still had the food poisoning.
How long did you have the food poisoning?
I think I had it 6 days.
So it was a food poisoning tour.
Yes.
You should have had that banner. Mark Norman, the food poisoning tour.
Right.
And it's you sweating.
Yes, and I was drinking on top of it to try to, like, just get through the shows. It was bad news. My body was not appreciating it.
Yeah, that sounds like a rough week.
Oh, yeah. And, like, all these great things in my life are happening. Album, half-hour special, and then I just can't enjoy it, you know?
Yeah, that really stinks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't even like getting misquoted. Like, I've been in the, you know, they write, like, newspaper articles about the store.
Like the really, local.
The local, yeah. Like, whatever the patches are they called. And I'll get misquoted, and it bothers me so much. And then this poor guy's, like, on TV, and they're cutting half the things he's saying out. It's like, I'd kill somebody.
Oh, yeah, sucks.
Is that why you're not on TV?
Probably why.
Huh.
But, we had no geek topic, but you saw Guardians of the Galaxy today.
I saw it, and I enjoyed it. I gotta say, it was built up quite a bit.
Imagine, because we saw it opening weekend. We did a whole show about it, but it was, we walked in going, well, what's this gonna be?
Yeah.
So I can imagine 3 weeks later, it's the biggest movie of the year.
Oh, of course.
Like, you know.
They said it got bumped off the number one and then took the number one again.
Wow.
Yeah.
Turtles, I guess when it came out, did, like, better.
Turtles did better and then fell right away, and then Sin City bombed. They thought Sin City
did really?
Yeah,
I didn't hear that.
Huge. It made like $7 million last week.
Whoa.
It tanked.
Yeah. I didn't even know it was out.
Exactly. What? And Expendables bombed. Expendables 3 bombed.
Yeah, but
those were all the movies they thought were going to do.
Yeah.
Well, the first two were fun.
Were they? I didn't see
them. They were good Netflix movies. They were just like, look, here's Bruce Willis and Arnold Schwarzenegger driving a golf cart around an airport and killing people.
Right.
<It's> like, wow, that's
they,
my dream
They give you
movie.
What you want. Yes. Well, unfortunately, that's 5 minutes of it.
Ah.
Should have been a 2-hour road movie.
Yeah, that's a pitch.
The rest of the movie is watching
Stallone try Wisconsin. To read his lines.
yeah, so Guardians. Wow, Sin City bombed? I'm blown away. Did you guys see it?
No.
I didn't even know it was out.
I like the first one. There were posters everywhere. Every time I went to the movies, there were tons of posters. There was that Eva Green poster, which got pulled.
Too hot?
I remember hearing the controversy of like a nipple or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Mm. I didn't like the Dame to Kill For. I was like, all right, take it easy. You know, that's not a great title.
Yeah, it was one of his books.
And
it was one of his better books. So I was like, well, at least that story's in there. But apparently they said it's the same as the first movie, but it's 9 years later. And there's like nothing more in there.
Who's the director?
It's Robert Rodriguez and Frank Miller again.
Oh, okay.
And then I was reading an article, like an article trying to review the movie and just talked about how crazy Frank Miller has become.
Oh,
yeah.
Has he?
Oh, yeah. Like after like 9/11, he drew this graphic novel called Holy Terror where Batman just kills Muslim people. and DC Comics was like, well, you can't do that. So then he went in and erased all the ears and put it out himself.
What?
Yeah.
I think he just called it Holy Terror. Yeah.
He called
I've
it
never
Holy
even
Terror.
Seen it.
And you had it in the shop.
Did we?
Yeah, I flipped through it in your shop when it came out. It was like a big graphic novel, and it was like Batman with no ears, and I think his name was like the Patriot or the Protector or something.
Whoa.
And all he did was like beat up Muslim people.
Yeah. That's amazing.
And yes. I think Frank Miller, didn't he come out and say like, what do you call that movement in New York where it was like the 99% or they call it?
Oh, Occupy Wall Street?
Occupy Wall Street. I think he came out and he was just like, oh, those guys are just a bunch of dirty hippies. They need a bath. They should shut up. Like,
wow.
Go get jobs.
Yeah.
And it's just like, clearly, this dude who wrote all this crazy stuff in the 80s has no fucking idea what's going on in the world anymore. You know what I mean?
He knew what was going on in the 80s. And he still thinks it's the 80s.
And
like, damn you, Max Headroom.
Right? I'm just like, Jesus.
Alf. Yeah. He loves America, apparently.
More than you.
Yeah, I guess so.
He just hates every half the people in it.
Right.
America would be great if most of you left.
Yeah, he's a bit of a nut.
Oh man, I had no idea. But geez, I can't believe that movie bombed. But yeah, Guardians was it was built up a little too much because I was like, I am going to get my mind blown and get a blown BJ. You know, it's going to be great. And you know what's great about the movie? It's I'm not a huge sci-fi guy. Like I love Star Wars and Star Trek, but I don't get into like the. You know, the Battlestar Galacticas and whatnot, but it was fun sci-fi. It was like sci-fi for like a mainstream crowd.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, and it's like the 10th Marvel movie, but I'm amazed at this point they're not forcing you to see every Marvel movie to understand it.
Yeah.
Like you could have never seen Iron Man or Avengers.
Yeah,
walked
gone
in,
cold turkey.
Had a great time and left and then not come back. For Avengers.
Right.
You
right.
know, and still enjoyed it.
Yeah, it stands alone. It's like it's its own, they're trying to be its own thing, which, you got to give them credit, too, is they took a property like Guardians of the Galaxy.
Which nobody knew.
Yeah, no, I had no idea.
And made it into, like, a major movie, and it's... It's actually like you gotta. Everyone always complains. Oh, they don't have Spider-Man, the rights to Spider-Man. They don't have the rights to X-Men. If they did have the rights to Spider-Man, the X-Men, we would have never got this movie.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's kind of a good thing. Daredevil
they would have just done
other,
the next sequels of Spider-Man and X-Men.
They would just keep
movie.
Making them, and
now they're gonna do Doctor Strange.
Yeah, Joaquin wow. Phoenix.
Yeah,
saying
they're talking about
be.
Joaquin. They were talking about Johnny Depp. Now they're talking about Joaquin Phoenix.
Go Joaquin.
Yeah, yeah. Joaquin Depp. Phoenix is a creepy, creepy, weird guy.
I love him. I love the darkness about him. He's yeah. something up with him.
There is something up with him.
Yeah, he's yeah. fun. But Guardians, did you guys? Are you the nerd approved?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I'd okay. say it was pretty awesome.
All right. Yeah, it was. This James Gunn guy, who knew? He's funny. The movie was funny. The movie was yeah. action packed. Yep. The story was solid.
You know, he used to be married to Pam on The Office.
He was?
Was yep. he really?
Wow.
Yeah. Did you ever see Slither?
Yes.
He did Slither.
What?
He directed Slither, yeah. And Michael Rooker's in that, and he's in this. Nathan uh-huh. Fillion was in that. And I think Elizabeth Banks is in that. Yeah. Mm. And But Pam, Jenna Fisher was in that.
Wow.
Because they were married at that time.
That's right. Wow.
So he's done okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But
got some of that Office money before it ran out.
Uh-huh. But Chris Pratt, is that his name?
Yeah. Yeah.
What a great choice. I mean, this kind of a sleeper hero guy.
Yeah, it's a guy I'd only ever seen him in the TV show he's in, The Community or whatever it's called.
Parks and Rec.
Parks and Rec. And it's like, he's funny in that, but he's just like, he's not even like the main guy. He's like the 10th billed guy in that show.
And he kind of does the same joke.
Right.
He's the dumb guy.
He's the dumb guy.
Right. And it's just like, and then you see him do all this other stuff, and he's in shape, and he's hitting his lines, and he's like an action guy, and you're just like, what else can this guy do? And like now he's going to be in the next Jurassic Park movie.
Yeah, it's like, he was the main voice in the Lego movie. He's having a good year. You're having a good year.
Ah,
he's having a better year.
He's having a hell of a way better year. Yeah. Wow.
He had a better 6 years before. He was on that show from the beginning.
Wow, there's a new Jurassic Park?
Yes.
Good Lord.
Like, I feel like you've come on this show just to learn things.
I'm learning a lot.
I think it's like next year, it's like Jurassic World, I guess. They're off the park. Dinosaurs are off the reservation.
Spielberg is not directing that, right?
I don't know.
Probably for the best, because he would just phone that in. He'd be like, all right, you dinosaur, you growl, keep it moving.
Yeah.
I did dinosaurs already.
Yeah.
Like the last Indiana Jones?
Exactly. Yes.
Yes.
Indy, you had
that's the other
one. I was just telling the story that Mark and I went to see Iron Man together.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It was a whole group of us, because a lot of guys who had been on the show. Mike Lawrence was there. Mike Drucker was there.
Yep.
Like, it was like 10 of us went to see Iron Man.
I think Grubard.
Alex Grubard was there, yep. And as we were walking out, Mark's first guy to turn to me and he goes, now what do you think Indiana Jones is going to do? And I was like, I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going.
Yeah, because they nailed Iron Man.
Oh, God. Yeah. Well, that's what built all of this.
Ah.
You know, we wouldn't have, they wouldn't have done half the movies
they
did if Iron Man wasn't as good and as big a hit as it was.
Yeah, and figure now, like, Iron Man's kind of like a household name. Like, your kid grows up and he knows who Iron Man is, and all these other kids know who
Iron Man is. Doesn't like him, but he knows him.
Right.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why. I think
he's not my favorite either.
I like him. Yeah,
it's too machiney. I like a Batman. I like a human.
Right, guy you can get behind.
See, I feel like Tony Stark is like Batman, but he's good with computers. He's like, I'm just gonna build a computer around myself.
Right,
and then
he's
use
pretty
it
much
to
wearing
punch
like
people.
A jet. You know, it's like
he's
Iron Man's kind of like
wearing like an Apple jet.
Yeah, I jet.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, iJet. That's the name of this episode.
Maybe we'll pitch that to Marvel.
Yeah, I don't know. I just Tony Stark, like, he's a cool guy. I don't know. I like a normal guy. He's too hip for me.
You can't relate to Tony Stark because he's so suave and cool all the time.
Yes. He's got, like, ladies. He's wearing a suit. That's too James Bondy. He's got a fun quip every now and then.
There's that.
He drives those fancy cars.
Exactly. I mean, I get it. I get why it's just not for me.
It's cool. But
I like a guy in a cape.
I feel like I have more of a shot at being Iron Man than being Batman.
Really?
For some, I feel like if I was really put to the test, like, I would probably...
You have similar facial hair.
I do have similar facial hair. I would probably build a computer way faster than I would do a lot of push-ups.
I think it's the same thing.
I don't think I'd get the black belt, but I think I would figure out like a lithium battery.
I like that. Realistic assessment of yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, because as soon as I think about exercising, I'm just like, well, I could just drink instead and then I don't exercise.
Yeah, I run when my pants hurt, and then my pants start hurting, and I stop running, and then a month later my pants hurt again.
Right,
that's how I handle
waves.
This. Yeah, so that's how I maintain.
That would be funny. Batman looks terrible. Right? Jesus Christ,
he's got to run.
Yeah, yeah.
He'd be Adam West, really. Adam West in the rubber suit. That's always my favorite thing in Halloween. We were talking about how we used to give out the candy on Halloween when we lived in New York. Mm-hmm. This one time, this really fat kid came up in a Batman suit.
Oh, I love it.
Which, yeah, already. But he had, like, the muscled Batman suit. So he had a six-pack on top of his gut.
Yes.
Yeah. And he's walking with supreme confidence.
He's probably never looked better.
Yeah.
He probably never will.
Well, when you're dressed as Batman, you know, it's just like, you know, got one day a year to look awesome.
Yeah. Right. Did you see that viral video of a guy dressed as Batman getting beat up by a guy on the street?
No.
That's amazing.
If I find it, I'll put it on the Facebook page, but it's like, I don't know how it started, because it's one of those where a fight's happening and somebody pulls out their phone.
Yeah.
But, like, these two guys are arguing, the guy's, like, yelling at Batman. And
what?
He's, like, one of those guys, like, in Times Square, like, wants to take pictures with people.
Yeah.
And then, like, it gets heated, and the guy grabs Batman by the ear and throws him down and just beats him, and Batman doesn't even get a punch in.
Wow.
And it was like, that was the last of my childhood.
Yeah. Jesus. I think you get a little bit of a bump in confidence as when you're dressed as Batman all day. You kind of get a little bit, look, I got a cape on, yeah. I've got a mask on, right. Don't fuck with me.
Maybe that guy had it coming.
Maybe he did.
Probably did. Those guys are douchebags.
I was going to say, yeah. Because no one knows who you are. You're wearing a cape, like you said.
Yeah, and I
and
think
that.
Those guys were already douchebags and was like, here's a way I can make some money.
Exactly. They don't want to get a real job.
They're like department store Santas all year.
Yeah.
Oh.
Nobody likes those guys.
That's a good way to put it.
There
yeah.
you go.
Just a bunch of kids on your lap. That's a weird gig.
It's a weird gig.
It is. It's weird to be like, that's what I want to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess that's interesting. I don't know anyone. Hopefully I never will. Do you think anyone as a kid is just like, man, I want to be the dude who dresses up in the old Santa costume and smells like mothballs every year at Christmas?
No.
No one wants to do that. Well, no one aspires to be that guy.
But they think he's Santa. I don't think any kid is thinking that clearly. Well, maybe.
Yeah, I
think that's like the end of a long line of disappointments. It's right. Like, I want to be Santa and make everybody happy. Well, there actually is no Santa. Spoilers.
Yeah, spoiler.
And then they're like, well, I want to be like Santa. And it's like, well, I want to wear his coat. That's yes. where you get to.
That's crazy.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the Batman, I watched Dark Knight Rises. Is that the Bane?
That's the newest one, yeah, with Bane. Yeah.
That's the Bane one.
I mean, they're all amazing now. Those last three have been incredible. The Nolans.
Yes.
But I gotta tell you, I'm an Adam West guy.
Yeah?
I'm an every guy.
Yeah,
I'm every, if you look here, there's
Batman
pretty much
any way he comes.
I will, just like, people, like, I'll watch George Clooney as Batman. I will hate
what?
It.
What?
I'll hate it, but I'll watch it.
Yeah, right? I don't know that I'd watch that.
Well, I figured out when they put them out, they put out the box set of the four of them before the Nolans. I worked out the price. It was like $50 for the box set, and it was like $20 for each one. And I realized for me to buy the three and not have the George Clooney one would cost me like -$8.
Hmm.
So they were paying me to take that.
You found
one.
A cheaper way to get it.
Yes.
I think with the George Clooney movie, we might have said this before. I don't know where I heard this from. I'm not this smart. I didn't come up with this. Somebody said you got to watch that movie as if you're watching the modern day version of the Adam West show with like a budget. And that's what the George Clooney is.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, that...
Because you know you have the big celebrities as the villains,
right.
Hamming it up.
Yep, and then he's always like, bat credit card, bat ice skates, bat whatever.
It doesn't even hold up on that level.
Well, no, because Adam West did a better job of that, I think.
But that's a good way to get through it.
That's what I think you'd have to watch it with that in mind, I think.
So, Mark, how do you feel about the whole series coming out now on Blu-ray?
Oh, is that right? I didn't know.
Yeah, I love it. Everything's a surprise to you.
Oh, boy, I love that.
This
that's
is like
great.
Breaking news every 2 minutes.
Yeah,
he's been doing comedy so hard, he's just got his head down, you know?
They're doing a box set of the entire series.
Whoa, I'm going to get it.
In November.
I'm doing it.
Yeah. And the movie is part of that?
No, because the movie's already out.
Okay.
The movie's been out for a while because the movie didn't have the same rights problem as
the show
did, yeah.
Uh-huh. But
yeah, actually, I did an interview, which will be coming out on a future episode, which will clear a lot of that up. And around that one. But yeah, they're doing the whole... It's like number one on Amazon right now.
Oh,
awesome.
Is it
it's
really?
Like all three seasons. It's huge.
It's such a great show because, one, it didn't realize how silly it was because it was the 60s.
Yeah.
And I love the kapow, the bammy, the whammo, the punches. And I love... Oh, man, it's the Technicolor and the villains are so silly. The Joker, Cesar Romero is amazing.
Yep. With his mustache.
Yeah, the Penguin's great.
They're all good.
The Hitler, Riddler. Riddler's super gay back then. Just a hell of a show. And I like it because this is going to piss some people off at home, so hold on. Everything is so dark now. Everything has got this dark imagery. You know, it's like even like James Bond, it's like this guy, he's struggling and he's driving around at night and he's fighting people and he never smiles. But like Sean Connery was like a fun guy. He was like, hey, what's going on?
You'd actually like to hang out with Sean Connery.
Yes.
Yeah. Daniel Craig is like, oh, I don't want to cross this dude in an alley because he looks like he's just going to beat anybody up.
Exactly.
Yeah, I feel like you'd want to hang out with Sean Connery and Sean Connery would not want to hang out with you.
No, no.
He's like, that's fine. I'm glad you like my movies. Goodbye.
But right. That's what I'm saying. He would handle it so gracefully.
Yes.
Yeah. I think Daniel Craig would be like, he'd kick my ass and leave me in a dumpster. Sean right. Connery would make me feel like $1 million, but then yeah. he'd leave right away.
Yeah. Roger Moore would just get drunk in front of me.
Ah, he yeah. sucked. But if Sean Connery was just trying to get laid at bat. You know, he's like, I'll do the mission, but we're gonna fuck. You know?
Yeah. Comes with a price.
Yeah, yeah. And like Batman now, he's got the Harvey Dent. You know, you're like, what? Take it easy. You're still a human being. I don't know. I don't get that whole darkness.
Yeah.
Everything is so gargoyle-y.
I will say about Batman, and I defend every version of Batman, but there are times. I was reading, I got the whole run of Legend of the Dark Knight, which was like this anthology series that ran for like 200 issues.
Uh-huh.
So now I'm reading all the ones I haven't read, and I'm, which is different writers, different artists, and short stories, but I'm like, I'm realizing how formulaic Batman can be. It's always like, oh, the villain hits, and then he meets Christopher Gordon on the roof, and he disappears, and then he goes to the Batcave, and Alfred says something sarcastic.
Right.
But there comes to a point where you go, well, you know, if both my parents died by when I was 8, by the time I was 35, I don't think I'd still be crying. Like, they always draw him, like, over the grave. He's like, why?
That's a great point.
It's like why in the 70s yeah. did this happen to
what
me?
A pussy.
I think a lot of it is, like, the writers all want to tackle, like, that iconic stuff. Every writer wants to be the
yeah,
guy who
so
talks about
so you see the
your...
same points again
and that's
and
what
again.
I think happens. And it's just like, you know, Batman should just be, like, a crazy person.
Right.
Who was just yeah. like so used to beating up criminals with his fists
mm-hmm.
that's like he's not even thinking about his parents anymore. That ain't the reason he doesn't.
Right.
He's like addicted to just beating the tar out
yeah,
of
him.
Like,
I always think he's just a super intense guy who's like, he's like, this is all I know. It's kind of like what Maron says about stand up now that he's 50. He's like, this is all I can do.
Right,
like,
right.
I can't do anything else.
Yeah.
That's like where Batman is now. He's like,
right.
I spent my entire childhood learning how to beat up find criminals, then beat them up.
Yeah.
Like, I got nothing.
Batman has nothing else to offer society.
Yeah, and he's just like, he's just doing it to do it. Well, he's got a lot of money.
Yeah, and he's...
The Wayne Foundation is always being...
Yeah. That he's using to fund his psycho war on crime.
Yes, that's true.
Think about all the money that he has to, like, get all these jets and weapons and all this crap. If he could just end poverty in Gotham City and we wouldn't have crime.
Yeah, wasn't there... There was a infographic that said, like, how much everything would cost, like, between
yeah.
the suit and the Batmobile
really?
And the motorcycle and the cave. And
think about it.
It was like $750,000 to fight crime.
But that's like it's not like it's one and done. How often does the Batmobile get destroyed or he gets
yep.
like
right.
stabbed or shot? Now he needs a new suit because he can't go out there being Batman with a bunch of bullet holes in his costume. He's
yep.
going to look like, you know, a homeless Batman. So he's got to
That's
keep
what was fun about
stuff.
Spider-Man was he had no money and he had just this cloth costume
that
and he would get
great.
He
yeah.
would get ripped and he'd be like, now what am I going to do? It's
yeah.
Like he had to teach himself to sew and his
yeah.
couldn't let his aunt see.
Yeah, you know, I tried. I ripped a shirt I really like of mine. Yeah. I rip a lot of shirts because...
You're angry?
I don't know. Shirts just rip on me. I don't know what it is. I don't have a, like, nice shirts, I guess.
There's no good reason why that should be happening.
Yeah, I guess not. Well, anyway, I had this nice button-up shirt, and it had this huge tear from, like, the back of my armpit all the way down to, like, the small of my back. And huge, huge. And I couldn't believe it. And I tried to sew it, because I'm like, I can't afford to buy a new shirt of this stature. It was a Christmas gift. So I'm going to sew it. How hard could it
be? See, what we've learned from Steven is that when you open your own business and take out a loan,
yeah.
people expect that money back.
No, it's not happening.
So even with a successful business,
yeah.
you live like you don't have a job.
Yeah, my sister calls it the struggle bus.
Yeah.
So I tried to sew, and I found out I couldn't sew. And it's you got to give Spider-Man credit for sewing
there
his costume.
And that costume is like so intricate with all the webs,
yeah.
and they got to line up right. It's like...
You're lucky he's not just walking around in like the green suit from the Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I would just fight crime in
Green
that.
Man?
Green Man. I would just be Green Man.
Yeah, that's why I like the black suit. I was like, I could figure out, you know, I could figure he would do a black suit with a big white spider on it. Done.
Boom.
Yeah. So much easier.
Leotard.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just realized you're right about Batman. If he just got therapy, he'd be fine.
Yeah.
Why
it's like he ain't
therapy?
Got the, he has money for the best. He could have a group of therapists, the best council of therapists on the planet.
But that's a catch-22 because now that he's Batman, he can't have therapy. because then they'll figure out he's Batman.
I don't. I think there's rules, and there's rules about, like, I think therapists have rules, like,
confidentiality.
Confidentiality was, maybe you tell him, like, look, I was Batman. I'm not Batman anymore. I'm not committing any more crimes, but I need to talk about how I was Batman, and, like, this was a thing I did for, like, you know, 30-some-odd years.
But now he did that. He did that in the Nolan movies. Everybody got upset.
He did what?
Like,
what?
After Dark Knight, he's like, ah, forget Batman. I'm just going to stay in my house and use his cane. And everybody's like, why would he do that? He's Batman.
Yeah, well, those people don't know what it's like. Yeah. The struggle is
and then,
real.
And then when you start bringing kids into the mix.
I hate the kids.
And they're like, hey, I'm going to teach you how to dodge bullets.
Right, yeah.
But I'm going to dress you in green and red.
I'm going to dress you in the brightest colors.
And I'm going to wear camouflage.
I did all black. And in the background, you jump in front in red and green and no pants. Right? In front of angry gunmen
right.
who don't want to see their own families.
Yeah, Robin's not a good gig.
No.
Ah, I love Robin. He's my favorite comic book character. Isn't that sad?
I like Robin. I do like Robin, but it's like...
It's a child thing that I
makes
like.
Makes not a lot of sense.
No, it doesn't.
And I like it when he has his own adventures.
Yeah,
like, I used to love the Robin comic book where it's like,
it.
Like Batman's in his comic book doing his thing, so he's got to stop his own guys because he's like, he's motivated. He's like, you're right. He's a positive Batman.
Yeah,
because you never see Robin like, and that's another thing that proves our point because Robin's parents also died in front of him.
Ah.
And it's like 5 years later, he's like, yeah, but I'm doing this now.
Right. Yeah. He's going on dates and shit.
Yeah, he's like, I live in this big house, and this butler brings me food.
Yes.
And I stop crime and feel really good about myself. But then the guy who did that first is just always like, ugh.
Yeah. It's funny because in real life, Robin would be like Lindsay Lohan. You know, he's got this huge house, all these cars. He just get addicted to Oxycontin, you know, and go to raves and shit. You know,
that would. Why don't they ever write that story?
You know, that's a story.
Well, you know,
feel like Grant Morrison. Would
Teen
write
Titans
that story.
Go to a rave. You know, somebody slips a little ecstasy to some of them, and I mean, things get really like right off the rails.
I want to see somebody with cosmic powers on ecstasy.
Well, I assume.
Yes.
This is what I assume. Me and Dave were talking about this because we've taken a few experimental things, and we're pretty sure that's what it's like to have like the power cosmic. Like, you just would think of, like, crazy stuff and, like, have a really hard time focusing on things. You'd see colors. I think that's, like, what it's like to be, like, Captain Marvel was, like...
Or Silver Surfer.
Like, this is what the Power Cosmic feels like. You're just in, like, this different headspace.
Well, that makes a lot of sense because this the book we read, Marvel Comics, The Untold Story, which was a history about, like, everybody that worked for Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
In the 70s when they did all those cosmic...
Yep.
They were all on mushrooms.
Really?
They would go to each other's houses and, like, do a bunch of mushrooms, and then they would just start writing.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then they'd be like, what if Thanos ate the planet in his mouth? And then they would drop.
They'd just make that shit up.
Yeah.
And then basically that's what they said. Anytime they got stuck, they'd all just smoke a big bag of weed, and then they'd go for a walk in Central Park. They'd come back, they'd have their story done.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yep.
So think like Jim Starlin, all those guys. You know what? Interesting, like Ditko.
That's amazing.
Now they're putting that stuff in movies. Rocket Raccoon?
Yeah.
That's where that comes from.
But like,
that comes from smoking pot and listening to the White Album.
Yeah. But, like, Steve Ditko, the guy who comes up with all the craziest stuff in the 60s, like Silver Surfer, Doctor Strange, all this
Spider-Man.
Stuff. Spider-Man. Right? Clean as a whistle.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, like, the guy who's doing all this,
like... really into Ayn Rand.
Yeah. Whoa!
That's why he quit Spider-Man. When he quit drawing Spider-Man in the mid-60s, because, like, Stan Lee, like, he didn't like what Stan Lee was writing.
Whoa!
And he was like, no, it's all black and white. People are bad. And, and Stan Lee's like, this guy's got a problem going to a laundromat. He's like, right. No, he has no problems going to a laundromat because he's good. Fountainhead! And then he was like, I quit! And he was like, what are you quitting with high school?
Right.
He's a spider.
Brooklyn Stan Lee.
Yeah.
What do you guys think? And this is probably the dumbest question I can ask two comic book guys. DC or Marvel? You got to pick.
I always say I like Marvel more, but Batman's the best character.
Oh, really?
So so there's a balance.
Batman's the best.
Batman, yeah. My two are Batman and Spider-Man. Batman edges out Spider-Man.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Really?
Normally, I think a couple years ago before me and John had that discussion, I would have been like, oh, it's Marvel because... everyone at DC, like, they suck. And if
their discussion.
Right. But John makes a good point about Batman that I think is true. He's probably the most successful superhero. If you think about it. Most popular. John's point was, like, Batman works anywhere. You put Batman in the Wild West, he kind of, like, you can have, like, that story work. You put Batman in space with the Justice League, that story works. Batman through time, like, that story works. Like,
you have Adam West and Christopher Nolan. You just said it yourself. You like both of them.
Runs the whole.
They couldn't be more different.
You're right.
Then try that with Spider-Man. And it's like Spider-Man in the Wild West, and it's just like, what's he going to swing off of?
Right.
You know, Spider-Man in space. Not really. No. You know what I mean? He really only works in New York.
Yeah, well, you know, we were at Best Buy today, and I was with Ben, and they had the new Spider-Man on Blu-ray now, and I took him to it. We saw it in 3D, so Spider-Man could shoot webs at us, and we were both disappointed. And when we saw the Blu-ray, I said, there's part of me that still wants to get it, because it's a Spider-Man movie. And my 7-year-old son went, there is no part of me that wants to get that.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Ouch. Yeah, I feel like with Batman, it's always like, there's always a feeling of like, well, I don't like this, but there's something in it. It's still Batman.
I think it's because he's human. Like, not human. Yeah. I think it's because he's a normal guy.
Yeah.
At the core of it, that's what brings you in.
Yeah. You're either into it or not. Because I've never been into Superman. Because Superman's all about... Superman's all artifice. It's all about his powers.
Yes.
And like keeping up this Clark Kent
right.
thing. The only thing I like is Lois Lane.
Because
she's hot.
She's hot, yeah.
She's hot and she's smart and she doesn't take any crap.
Right, you like that.
I do. I feel like she's too good for Superman.
Wow, jeez.
That's good enough for me.
There you go.
But not Superman.
No, I see. My dream life would be me and Metropolis, no Superman.
Superman's too convenient. Like, oh, I fucked up. Let me rotate the earth.
Right.
Go back in time. Like, what? That's what we're going with? Nothing is a problem then. Yeah. We just do that every day.
Seriously.
Also, yeah. Superman struggles with heavy things. It's like, can you lift it or can you not lift it?
Right.
You're super. You know, he's like...
Right. So the one thing you do is lift heavy things.
Yeah. And he's picking up a train like, I don't know if I can do it. You're like, you can do it.
Right. We've literally seen you lift mountains.
Yes.
The train should be okay. You should have that.
I think the problem with Superman is he gets distracted because he's constantly thinking, I hope nobody thinks I'm Clark Kent. Just all day long.
Yeah.
He's just like, I hope nobody thinks... Nobody cares about Clark Kent. That's the whole point of Clark Kent.
Right.
He's just some guy that nobody pays attention to.
Exactly.
But he's always creating robots that look like Superman so they can be in the room with him.
Uh-huh. I think it's like, how much time would Superman save if he didn't worry about stuff like that?
Yeah, how about if he's not Clark Kent?
Well, it's
like, why doesn't he just go back to the farm where no one goes to?
Yeah.
Right.
He can go around the earth in a minute. He just goes home, lives with his parents.
Yeah.
Well, Mark Waid had an interesting point. He wrote a Justice League story where, like, they have to get the Justice League to trust each other because they're all like, Batman backstabbed everybody.
Oh, I love that story. Yeah.
It's a great story. And then afterwards, everyone's like not trusting each other. So Batman and Superman agree, well, we'll just tell them who we are in real life. And then everyone will trust each other again, which this is what they do. So they go to the Batcave and Batman pulls his mask off. And he's like, I'm Bruce Wayne. And then Superman slips out of the shadows and he's wearing a Clark Kent suit. And he's like, I'm Clark Kent. I write for the Daily Planet. And Kyle Rayner says, he's Green Lantern. He says, I didn't even know you had a day job. That the other superheroes, like, secret identities is something we all know about because we read comic books. Well, comic books don't exist in the DC universe, so secret identities is like a thing that they've never heard
people
of.
People don't have secret identities. They just have secret families.
Right. Mm. So, like, they assume...
So, like, somebody... Yeah, so
Superman is so Superman one of you guys 24 went, hours.
Well, I got another wife in Ohio.
Right.
You just go, oh, I wasn't suspicious that you did.
Right,
like, I didn't spend all my time going, I gotta find his secret wife.
Yeah. Right. And figure, if you could fly and do all the things Superman could do, like, why would you ever be anything other than Superman? If I was, I would just be Superman all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I wouldn't pretend I can't fly.
That's a great point. And
right?
You could just get sponsors.
Seriously.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, you could just have it on your cape. Gatorade.
Yeah.
You'd be flying around the city, just making money.
You could just license yourself.
Yeah.
Super cereal.
Right.
This is super.
I don't even think you'd have to do that, honestly, because if you're running around, you're like saving the world and stuff, and you're just like, hey, I'm hungry, and you go to like a steakhouse, you're like, hey, bring me a steak. What's that rule? Like, where does a 500-pound gorilla sit? Anywhere once. You're the biggest gorilla on the planet.
Yeah, but not even that. You're so respected. It's like John Belushi. They said was everybody's guest. He would just, when he was drunk or bored, he would wander into somebody's house and sleep on their couch, and 100% of those people were just like, John Belushi's in my house.
And then imagine that, like, you're in Metropolis.
Now you're Superman.
Superman, he's like, hey, I need a place to crash. You got this sweet penthouse. He just walks in through your wall because he's Superman, and it's like, I'm going to sleep on your couch. You can't wake him up. You don't have kryptonite. How would you wake Superman up?
I don't even think he needs to be a dick. I'm not a big Superman fan, but if he rang the doorbell and he's like, hi, I'm Superman. Can I stay here for a day? I'd go, yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Let me get a picture with you. We'll call it even.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Super selfie.
I'll carve my name in your cement as like an autograph.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
know what
I
mean?
Don, I was like, well, you save the planet every week. The least I can do is make you watch a Simpsons marathon.
I mean, we're just here doing a podcast, and your wife made us sandwiches. I imagine y'all would take care of Superman as well. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we're nice people.
Does he eat, though? Does he need food?
I think it's something he probably
socially.
Doesn't. I think it's socially.
Like, I've seen him go to dinner with Lois's Clark Kent.
I guess so.
He's just like, oh, it'd be weird if y'all are eating and I just kind of sat around.
He's corn-fed.
Yeah. You're right.
Born and raised.
Somebody had a great point. I think it was Jared Logan. He's a Chicago comic.
I love Jared.
I don't want to do it.
Was on our old podcast.
Oh, yeah?
And he's a Chicago guy, yeah.
There you go. Well, he had a great point about how, Superman is an alien. Thank God he just turned out to be a handsome white man. You know, wouldn't that be awful? It's like, here comes Superman. He's, like, got tentacles and, you know, right? He's ugly.
We probably wouldn't have, like, the same respect for the dude.
Well, that's, that's Martian Manhunter, who nobody knows.
There you go. Yeah,
there you go. You have to be, like, I was into DC for, like, 2 years before I ran across that guy.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, who are you? He's like, well, I'm basically Superman, except I'm green.
Right, yeah. Right.
And he's like, oh, well, then you stand at the back of the Justice League. You don't even get on the Super Friends once.
Yeah. He's a dude, if you think about it. Martian Manhunter's got, like, all of Superman powers, and then they gave him,
and like three more.
They gave him extra powers.
Yeah, he has, like, telepathy. He can shape change. He can turn invisible.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, his only weakness is fire, which is everyone else's weakness.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. My weakness is also fire.
Yes.
His kryptonite is racism.
Right. His kryptonite is obscurity.
Yeah. Xenophobia.
That's
the the hatred of aliens.
Yeah. Yes.
That's what he is. He's Superman who's not handsome.
Wow. Yeah. Well, look at that. Breaking some ground
tonight. We are.
This is good stuff.
This educational. Is good.
Yeah, Superman. Come on. He's a good rough draft for superheroes.
Well, he's the first.
He's the first, so
he's
of
like,
course.
He's like, what if a guy had superpowers and a secret identity and a cape? I was like, great, let's do that 100 more times.
Yes, yeah. And then we'll get more intricate and more deep and yada yada. Then you get the fucking Watchmen.
Yes.
Right, yeah.
Way down the line.
Yeah.
That's a good way of looking at it.
That is a good way to look at it. I like this podcast. We're breaking down doors.
Covering all kinds of ground.
Yeah. So what's your favorite superhero?
Ah, well.
You're kind of a casual.
I'm a casual
guy, yeah.
I mean, we attacked it, but I do love Batman.
Yeah.
I mean, I attacked it, but I was just attacking because I was wondering why he's your favorite.
Well, I think Steven said it for me because you can't break him.
You can't break him.
You can't break him. It's like this is the 75th anniversary of Batman.
Uh-huh.
I have 40 years of it in my house.
Right.
And it's like, there's so many different versions and they're all equally valid. And you're right. You can't do that with the Green Lantern. You can't do that with the X-Men. The X-Men are like, X-Men have had highs and lows.
Yeah. Well, what's cool about Spider-Man, because he's probably number two of best superheroes of all time, is because I hate the whole Gotham City. Can we just say New York?
Yeah.
Why can't we say New York? What is that?
I've always had a problem with that because it's like, like New York, I've been there, you lived there, maybe lived there. It's, we recognize things. It's like, oh, Spider-Man's, the Green Goblin killed Gwen Stacy on the Queensboro Bridge.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You can point to that bridge and be like, there's the one where he killed her.
They shot the first Spider-Man movie, the Sam Raimi movie, all around my house.
Right.
It's like all in Queens, right, Queens Boulevard, Astoria.
And then you're like, famous thing that happened in Batman is the Joker attacked the Axis chemical plant. Well, what does that look like? Yeah. And here's 400 artists drawing it 400 different ways, and it's just like...
But I kind of like that, too, because Gotham can be whatever you want. You're like,
I guess so.
Where you're like, we have a chemical plant because we can threaten the city with that.
I think there's enough in New York, I think, where it's like, there's probably a chemical plant somewhere close by to New York where you'd be like, oh, there it is.
Of course.
You know what I mean? It's, they've got everything. Well, a big city like that would.
And that's another edge that Marvel had, because Marvel put everybody there, not just Spider-Man. You know, the Avengers are there. Yeah,
Thor's flying around.
Thor is there.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, Tony Stark's plant was on Long Island for a long time.
Oh, wow.
And then they moved him to California, which is what the movies did.
Yeah.
The Avengers Mansion is on Fifth Avenue.
Yep.
Is that right?
The Fantastic... Oh,
wow. Right across the street from Central Park.
Fantastic Four building is on Madison Avenue and 42nd Street. And when I was at Ogilvy, I was on 40th. And this is like 10 years ago, 40th and Madison Avenue. And they built a new skyscraper that looks just like the Baxter building.
And it's just like, how is that?
And I'm like,
not deliberate.
And I just kept saying, the architect knows.
Yeah.
Because it had those like weird striations at the top.
Yep.
Now again, the Avengers living on Fifth Ave... How do they get, does New York give them that apartment? Where do they get rent money?
Tony Stark owns that mansion.
Oh, okay.
So he was like, kind of like in the movie with the tower.
Right.
Where he was, because apparently Avengers 2, they're all going to be in Tony Stark's tower.
Uh-huh.
Where he's just like, I got a bunch of buildings, so you can have this one.
Wow. It's funny. You can save the world, but you still got to have some cash if you want to house some people in that city.
Yeah.
Especially now. Yeah, exactly. You
know, we went there, last night, Renee and I went there in May, and it was like... We took a walk. We walked from Ground Zero to 57th Street,
mm-hmm.
like in one day. and it was mostly a tour of things that were no longer there.
Right. Isn't
I was
that a
like,
bummer?
Yeah, I was like, that used to be a bar with an open mic. That used to be a great comic book store. I had a job in that building.
Yep.
And like everything's like a cell phone store.
Now it's a Pinkberry or a cell phone store or a Subway.
Yeah, how is it? Well, you're in the Village now.
I'm the
Village. How does it feel with the changing around you?
Well, I used to live in the East Village, and that was when I first moved there, was like bar,
right.
Indian cab stand food, and now it's just like CVS, Dwayne Reed. It's crazy. I mean, the bars are still there, but it's getting so cleaned up and corporate.
Yeah.
It's kind of a bummer.
There's not a lot of great dive bars that have open mics on a Tuesday night.
Right,
anymore.
Right. I mean, there are. You got to find them, but before it was just like, you just stumble around, and now now you stumble around, you're like, oh, shit, I'm at a Chipotle.
Right.
You know? But yeah, the West Village is still pretty cool. Like, it's still pretty original and fun, but you were totally right. It's not what it used to be.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy when you think about it, like how much everything's changing constantly, like a big city like that. It's like you do kind of have to move every couple years to avoid like Chipotle's and CVS's like springing up. You know what I mean? They're these like corporate places where it's like gentrification or whatever they call it. And it's like there's a fucking Starbucks and it's like, well, that used to be a coffee house like owned by some family that lived above it.
They got ran out.
Right,
yeah, and now
right.
it's like they got run out of the neighborhood.
And
I'm surprised all the... Well, Comics is gone, right?
Yeah, Comics is gone, but that was a bad idea to begin with.
It was a weird neighborhood.
Yeah, they put a comedy club in the Meatpacking District.
Yeah, well, because the Meatpacking District was starting to blow up, so it was like, you guys need a comedy club next to an Apple store.
Exactly.
It was a good room, and they
great
had...
Great room.
And I saw some great people there.
Oh, I saw Paul F. there. I saw Mark Maron.
I saw Dana Gould there.
Dana Gould, Yeah, I saw Patrice there once. That was wild.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I never saw Patrice.
Unbelievable. This guy was eating chicken wings in the front row. He talked about that for 20 minutes. I never laughed so hard.
That's awesome.
Wow, that's awesome.
He was amazing.
But you're in the, as I said, there's no topic here. We're talking about Superman. But you're at the Comedy Cellar now.
Yes.
So that's still got to be, that looks like it's lost none of its feeling.
Best club in America. I mean, it's so New York. They don't advertise. They don't bark. It's just people
it's downstairs.
Know it. Yeah. It's
well,
gritty,
it's the, it's the club you always see Louie in on Louie.
Okay.
Where it's got that real low ceiling.
Yeah. Is that like, now you said are you on like staff there? Is that how that works? Or is it something where they're just like, hey, yeah, anytime you want to come by, do a show. Like,
no, it's pretty, you have to have two recommendations and a bunch of credits to get in.
Yeah.
It's like the Friars Club.
It is. You got to be like really entered in.
That's crazy.
And you put your avails in every week and the lady who books it watches tapes of the past week and to see how you did and then she books you accordingly.
So they watch every set you do and then
I don't know if it's every set, but they'll pop in a random set and be like, "Oh, he's kind of losing it. Give him two spots next week, not five."
Oh, wow.
So it's so regimented.
And it's a little place. How many does that hold? That's like
probably
180, 150?
Yeah, it's tiny. I mean, it's jammed. Like,
And it's everybody's on the side.
Oh, it's wild.
Weird.
But it works. It's the worst thing on paper. The bathroom, you have to walk through the crowd to get to the bathroom. So people are coming from the restaurant in through the club. And, you know, it's tiny. It's dark. It's kind of creepy in there, but it just works.
Yeah.
I don't know what
it's like a coffee pot that never gets washed.
Exactly,
There's something like magical about like all that comedy just being beaten into the...
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah. I never did that stage either. We always meant to do at least the open mic never did it.
Oh, that mic was terrifying.
I'm sure, because it's a terrifying room.
Yeah.
But we did the one night where Dave Chappelle showed up at like 1:30 in the morning.
Ooh.
He was like, you motherfuckers, it's Daniel Dreet.
That's
and he just went on for like an hour and a half. And it was already a night that had like Jim Norton and Dave Attell and Jim Florentine and
I saw Chappelle recently. He did he did 10 sold out shows at Radio City, and so he would come to the Cellar like a week before just to fuck around.
Yeah.
He did none of the material, but he would do like 3 hours, and you're like, Jesus Christ, how long has he been on? I hope he doesn't stop.
You know,
like,
yeah,
it was like I got to go to work, but you're still like, fuck it, I'll take it. I'll take the no sleep.
Yeah,
the guy's amazing. He would just riff. He'd be like, "Where are you from?" The guy's like, "Canada." He's like, "Oh," and he'd tell a story about Canada, and it was like, "Ah, oh, this is amazing. None of this is in the show.
Yeah,
this story is incredible. It's better than anything I've ever written, and you're just telling it off your head.
That's incredible. Yeah.
He's like a savant. It's amazing."
He is.
Yeah, I've watched a couple of specials of his. You know, it's like I will sit in there drawing the comic. I need something to listen to, so I always put on like stand-up comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know anything about stand-up comedy, but you know, John will say, "Oh, look at this guy. This guy's great," and I'll throw him on. And Dave Chappelle's one where it's like I've looked and tried to find like a bunch of his different shows, and it's just like he just nails it. And like you said, whole hours he's doing, and you're just like, and like you said, the same thing. He'll call in the crowd, or somebody will say something, he gets off on this tangent. You're just like, this shit isn't like, he didn't write this down beforehand.
No.
I originally saw him young, too. Like, I was in high school, and he was in Washington Square Park in that big circle.
Oh, wow.
Just yelling. He was doing like the banana bit.
Is that right?
And then 2 months later, I went to Brooklyn College.
Uh-huh.
And he was in the student lounge.
What?
And there was like a stage. There was just like, there was a bar there.
Yeah.
Like seniors could use it. And then there were just some tables. People were like studying. He saw there was a stage there. Just got up.
Wow.
Got up, had him turn on the mic and did like 20 minutes. And we talked to him after, and he was like, all right. And he's like younger than us. Like yeah. We're college students. He's like some high school kid that snuck in. Like
oh my God.
That's the mark of a guy that you know is
going
go
to make it.
Because, yeah, because they're finding it everywhere. It was like even guys like you or Mike Lawrence, you guys would do three times as many shows as I would do it at my height, because I was like, I want to go home and write now.
Right.
You guys were like, where's another one?
Yeah, know? I mean, I was just looking at it like, a lot of these comics started at 14, Louis started at 15 or something, and it's like...
That's crazy.
I'm starting at 22, 23, I got to catch up.
Well, how long did you do it in New Orleans?
Like 8 months.
Really? Was that...
Yeah. I mean, because New Orleans, I started doing comedy there, I'm from there, and there's a mic every week, and it was like the big mic. You know,
Everybody was at that.
You knew every comic in the city. You knew most of the crowd, sadly. And there might be another show. Somebody would do like a one-off, maybe once a month. So you got up 4 times a week on the mic, and then maybe, so 5 times in a month you got up. So that was insane. I was like, I can't get anything worked out. And
right,
my friend said, I'm going to New York. And I said, I'm going with you. And that was it.
That was around Katrina, though, wasn't it?
No, it was a little after that.
Okay.
Katrina was 05. I moved in 07.
Because there was, like, because being in New York, because I'm from there.
Yeah.
And I just remember a wave of you guys.
Yeah.
Just showed up. Was like, Sean Patton was, like, first.
Yeah,
and it was like you and...
Zach Sims. Neil Stasny.
Yeah, it was like, there was like 10 guys from New Orleans showed up, and we were just like, oh, yeah, because you don't have homes anymore.
Well, Neil was the only guy whose house just totally just went away.
That's
like,
insane.
Like, if this is his house we're in right now, you come back and it's just gone.
Wow.
Like,
yeah.
Everything.
It was just ground?
Just ground, yeah.
That's insane. Wow. And think about that. Just like, you're everything you own and how long it took to accumulate all that stuff and how long you've been here, and it's just like fucking just gone.
Pictures and memorabilia, all that gone.
It's like you're like starting from scratch pretty much.
Oh,
you know
what
I mean? It's insane.
I know we get this intersection floods all the time. And there are
days
I'm just like, the way the sewers are built here, they were built over an underground stream because they were just like, we'll just use this. So they're always half full.
Right.
So when we get a heavy rainstorm, and we've gotten some doozies the last few years, that it just comes up to the house.
Yeah.
And it'll like, there'll be a stream through the basement, and there's always just like, well, is this the day where everything goes away?
Right,
yeah.
Right.
So I can imagine the day it actually does. Ooh. Well, and that's what's, you know, and I'm from Rockaway, so they all got hit with Sandy.
Yeah,
you're saying like your parents' house isn't like, it's just like, it's still there, but it's like, you said the fucking basement was just flooded.
Yeah, they put like $25,000 into it to kind of put it back to normal. And
that's
I'm like,
crazy.
And I was talking to my dad, I was like, well, what'd you do differently?
Yeah.
And he was like, well, they built some dunes on the beach. And I'm like,
yeah, that'll work.
Yeah, I'm like, this might be another $20,000. But were you in the village when Sandy hit?
No, I lived in the Lower East Side when Sandy hit. I lived with a girl in the Lower East Side, and we lost power for 7 days.
Jesus.
Which is just hell.
I couldn't live for 7 hours without power. You know what I mean? That started throwing my head at a wall.
Yeah, and we had a dog, too. So it's us two in this dark, shitty apartment with a dog running around. You're like, is that a dog?
What was that?
Yeah.
It's a shape.
Yeah. And the dog hated us. We hated each other. We hated the dog. It was just so, because, you know, when your Wi-Fi goes out, you're a little cranky.
Yep.
Imagine. The water is freezing cold. There's no hot water. There's no heat. It's freezing outside, and there's no electricity. So you're like back to being a nomad. Once the sun goes down, you're like, we got to cuddle up. We got to get a candle together. We got to make it work. And so every day we would wake up at like 8 because the sun would come in. We turned into like villagers. You know, the sun would come in. You're like, time to wake up, no matter what time you went to bed. And you'd get a backpack on. You'd get your phone charged together, and we would walk the Williamsburg Bridge because Brooklyn still had power.
Wow.
So we would walk the Williamsburg Bridge like fucking weirdo
refugees,
drifters.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's other smelly losers walking the bridge with us because they were all going the same place. We'd go to a coffee shop, which was like a paradise. We'd charge our phones, text people, call our parents. She had to text work and stuff, call work. And, we would just watch maybe a little video on our phone and get a sandwich. It was like... And we just stay there all day and maybe go to a restaurant or something and then go back at night. It was awful.
Wow.
Yeah, that sounds terrible.
Yeah, and you always waiting for that moment where the electricity would come on. You know, like, maybe it'll come on in 5 seconds. I'll count to 10. Maybe it'll come on. And imagine 7 days of that.
Yeah, you start to go a little mad.
We did that once in, I want to say 2005. Mm-hmm. Astoria had a blackout for five days.
Oh, brutal.
And that was just like we were, and this was before smartphones.
Yeah.
So it's like we had a computer, like we were watching DVDs on the laptop.
Yeah.
Until that battery ran out.
Right,
and then
right.
We had a car then, so it was
that
just
helps.
Like, yeah, so we were just like, let's just go somewhere, and we just like, remember we saw like the second Pirates of the Caribbean movie,
right? Because
we were like, this place has air conditioning power.
Yeah,
yeah, because you know, power never goes out during a really nice weather.
Sure,
you know,
it's
never 75 degrees and sunny.
Yeah.
When the power goes out, it was like this was like one of those. The heat wave that just broke the grid. Remember, like when it broke from Ohio.
Yeah, I remember hearing about that.
Yeah. Yeah, we got hit with that.
Oh, that's nuts.
That's another thing in New York too. When the power goes out, there's no street lights. In New York, when the power goes out, is terrifying because it's just like madness. It's like martial law.
Yeah, you're living in like the most dangerous city in the world. And you know what I mean? It's just like, and then take away the power, and it's just is there rules still? Like, you know what I mean? What's that movie where it's like
Escape
24
from New York
hours and you could just do like whatever you want?
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
I can't remember the name of it.
There's a Star Trek episode where they did that for an hour. And a girl came in with like a dress all ripped up after 5 minutes. And Kirk's like, what's going on?
Yeah.
That I remember.
It's an interesting like social experiment, I guess, like to just be like, how crazy can things get in 7 days without power?
Oh, yeah.
It's easy to create lasting damage in 24 hours.
Oh, yeah. By the second day, it was just pitch black. At 2 a.m, you'd hear a glass shatter and like a lady like, and you're like, well, I hope that's not a rape.
Right, yeah. Like, oh, what did I just hear?
Gotta go back to bed.
Yeah, try to sleep.
Right.
That's the other thing.
The important thing is that I hoped it wasn't.
Yes, exactly.
Just think how quiet it gets without, like, all the power.
Brutal.
Yeah.
It's just like, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
It's eerie.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, even out here, it just gets it gets quiet enough that you hear the train go by, and you're like, oh, people are alive.
Yeah.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Every now and then, a car goes by with teenagers blasting music, and you're like, oh, this is what reminds me of what it was like in the city.
Yeah.
My current roommate and her girlfriend at the time were in Philadelphia when that hit, that crazy storm, and they said it was like a madhouse. I don't know. They were there for like a softball tournament or something. I have no idea. And they said, like, the streets were flooding. Like, people were running around like crazy. They were telling everyone in the hotel lobby to, like, put their mattress up against the windows. Like, they were just like, oh, we don't know what's going to happen, but sleep in your bathtubs tonight. And it's just, like, kind of like anarchy.
Yeah.
And especially to be in, like, Philadelphia, like, a city they've never really been to before. It's like, they don't know the way around.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just, like, that's just,
weird.
Like, the weird way, like, weirdest time to be in a strange city.
Philly is the town that made me quit stand-up.
Is that right?
Yeah,
really?
I did the Helium, that big audition where everybody said they were from Philly so they could do it.
Philly's Funniest.
Philly's Funniest, yeah. And I opened with my smart material.
Ugh.
Yeah, and that was that 100-mile drive back to New York. I'm like, I'm not making any money.
Right.
I got kids. What?
Right. You turned Jewish all of a sudden.
I did. Well, I'm always New York.
I got kids.
There's a lot of. There were a lot. When I lived in New York, a lot of people did not know I was Irish.
Me too. Everybody thought I was Jewish. I'm Italian.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's the comedy thing. So, as far as like stand up comedy goes, like you have to bomb. That's like non optional, right?
Oh yeah. I mean,
that's, I don't know if that could go in like knowing that. And be like, tonight things might just go terrible.
Here's a good question because Mark, you're way further along than I ever got. Does anybody ever get bomb-proof? Do the bombs ever get less severe? Like, do you have enough A material that you can pull out? Do you have enough savers?
Yeah, I mean, I think I learned at some point a big part of comedy is just looking like you know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I can get out of a bomb now, but I love the new stuff. To me, it's all about the new shit.
Right.
So I like doing that new, and my new stuff bombs 90% of the time. But I see Louie working out his new hours because, you know, once that hour comes out, he's got to work on a new one.
Right.
And he bombs. He bombs for 3 months, 4 months straight. It's amazing to watch.
That's incredible.
Zero. Getting people like, Louie! When he gets on stage, everybody's on their feet clapping. 3 minutes in, they're like, ooh, what happened to this guy? Holy shit, he has lost it.
He's
got to do it. I mean, Seinfeld said it best. He said, comedy's the only thing where you start on the first day. You know, like, you know, brain surgeon, you learn that for years, then you work it out and all that, but comedy, you're just a brain surgeon from day one.
Yeah.
And you never really progress to another level.
I was listening to an interview with Larry Wilmore, who's getting Colbert's show now and created...
Oh, wow.
And created the Bernie Mac show. You don't know anything.
I don't know.
Cultural vacuum.
And he created the Bernie Mac show, so he started as a writer on A Living Color, and he was always behind the scenes, And in his book, he talks about, like, he decided to stand up late, like, after he was already on The Daily Show.
Wow.
So he's like, let me start doing stand-up. And he said it was the only form of comedy where you could kill for 55 minutes, and then you start to bomb, and the audience is like,
yeah,
why are you here? And you're like, you were with me the last 55 minutes.
Yeah. Remember, we had all those great memories.
And they're just like, yeah, but not now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it Colin Quinn? He goes, comedy's the closest thing to justice.
Yes.
Because Jack Nicholson, who everybody loves, could go up on stage and you give him 3 minutes of like, we love you, Jack. And then after a while, it's like, hey, buddy, you got to make us laugh. You know? Yeah. Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's in Jerry Seinfeld's Comedian. Which yeah. Is, if you haven't seen that, Stephen, if you Woo! Guys haven't seen it, one of the Amazing. Best documentaries. That came out right when I started.
01, I believe. 02.
Wasn't that early? Okay.
Because it started right after the sitcom.
Yeah, well, he went back, because he did the HBO special, and then he went back out. Yeah, and I saw him just walk in Gotham. I went to see Lewis Black, and he just walked in afterwards.
Wow.
And it was during that period.
Oh, cool.
Where he was like, and then he runs out of material, and he's like, what do you want to talk about? And somebody just starts shouting Kramer.
Right? Yeah. It's the hardest thing ever, and yet it's the least respected thing. You know, like, everybody loves Louis and Seinfeld and, you know, Dave Chappelle now, but they still, you know, people still heckle.
Yeah.
You know, like, I got heckled last night. I mean, it still happens, and you still go to a comedy club, and they're like, who are you? You're the headliner? Who cares? And you're like, well, my name's all over the wall. There's no show without me. Ah, we can get another guy. Blow me. You're like, wow, geez, glad to be here in Topeka. Thanks.
Yeah, you know? And you know what? And Dave Chappelle, Seinfeld, and Louis that you mentioned, all respected because of things they did outside stand-up.
Isn't that sad?
Because they all did, you know, they did a sitcom, a short film every week, and a sketch show. Like, none of them were pure stand-up.
Well, I mean, I would say they're pure stand-ups.
They're great stand-ups, but what most people know are those
series. Yeah. Isn't that a bummer? That's what puts them on a map.
Yeah, like...
It's the show, they have 10 years in syndication.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's something, too. Like, even just watching stuff on YouTube, you know, it's an hour long, and you're like, all right, well, I saw all the Dave Chappelle hour-longs, or the six or eight of them, or whatever that they found, and then it's like... Oh, well, that's it. They're like, where's his next, like, you kind of run out of stuff. You're like, well, where's the next one? And then you don't realize, like, he probably worked like 8 months, 9 months on every one of those hour longs.
Oh, yeah, more than that.
If not a year. Yeah, and it's just like, it's something I didn't realize at
the
time.
That's a good point.
Is a lot of work goes into these, you know, you just think, oh, yeah, that's just his, like, his week of jokes. But it's like, no, that's something where it's just like, if you watch people stand up, like, shorter bits or, like, you know, you're going on a corner, it's like you kind of hear some of the same jokes. We heard Mike Lawrence said some material on a CD
of
that
course.
Was the same. Yep. Because it's like he knows which jokes of his work really
right,
well, and you've
right.
got to
well,
keep
like,
using them, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, Mark, you have a CD out.
Yeah.
And I know from Mike, with both of you guys, I heard bits you did like 4 or 5 years ago in New York.
Of course.
So how long would you say it took you to write that CD of material?
Oh my God. 6 years?
Yeah. That's incredible.
And that's 46 minutes or something.
Yeah. And that's writing every week.
Right.
Yeah.
That's like that's what the open
mic's not like writing in your spare time, it's your job.
No, but that's what the open mics are. Like, here's a new 5 minutes. Okay, that 20 seconds works.
Maybe. Yeah.
Maybe.
I mean, it's whittling. It's all whittling. You got an oak tree, and you chop it down to a fucking sliver.
Yeah.
And that's what you keep.
And then you build house out of toothpicks.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
Well said.
That's depressing.
It is. Jesus.
It is a little, yeah.
That's why I like this. I talk for an hour, I hit publish, and I'm like, there, I did an hour.
But on the other hand, I get to go up tonight, do an hour of jokes I believe in, jokes I wrote, jokes I love, and then the next night it's a whole new crowd, so that helps.
Yeah.
You know, it's thank God there's more than 100 people on the earth.
Thank
you
God,
know,
yeah.
You keep rotating crowds.
Right.
Know?
The greatest thing in the world.
This week.
Yeah, it's been a slow week for me this week. So my favorite thing is something that just made my life easier. We paint the windows at the comic book store with acrylic paint. Which should just, like, scrape off the window when you're done with it to, like, change to the next character.
And yeah, originally you guys were doing that, like, quarterly or every 6 months.
Yeah, then I really slowed down because I got too much shit to do. But this week I'm changing some of the windows. And you got to think, these windows, you put paint the acrylic on, it's, like, pretty much, like, plastic colors. and then it gets, the sun beats on it all day, and then it gets super cold in the winter, and the sun beats on all day, so it's like, these extreme temperatures, this thing like chemically bonds to the window, and I would just sit there for hours and hours and hours with like a little scraper scraping the shit off. Which is really stupid, because I went to art college, and I know that if you use, like, paint thinner and acetate, whatever these things are called, this shit comes off a lot easier. And I went into Ace Hardware, and I got some of this shit, and a fucking Iron Man came off that window, like, no problem. And
it took me that Iron Man.
Yeah, he's gone now. And it took me 6 hours to take Thor off the front of our door, because he had been there for about
four years since we opened.
So before we opened. He was down there, like, a month before we opened. And it took me 6 hours to get him off the door, just sitting there scraping like a jackass. Oh, okay. And then I was like, this is ridiculous. And then I bought the stupid paint thinner. And now it goes so much easier that it was such a relief that it's my favorite thing in the world.
So paint thinner. That's what you're going with.
That's what I'm going with.
All right. I'm going to go with the Simpsons Marathon.
Oh,
there you go. Very topical.
Right at the end of the run.
Yeah, it's been fun. We were talking about doing a whole Simpsons episode and never quite got to it.
I love to imagine that boardroom when they're like, all right, FXX, we got to fucking come out with a bang. What are we going to do? And one guy's just like, I got it. You know, he's disheveled. He's been up all night. He's got 18 coffee cups and like Chinese to go. He's like, every Simpsons ever. And the fucking place just carried him out on their shoulders, you know?
Yeah.
And what a great idea.
And they paid a lot for it. It was like, originally it was like, let's pull it off all the Fox affiliates.
Oh, wow.
Just put it here and we're going to pay what we have to pay. And all the articles about it before was like, hey, you can download the app and get every Simpsons on and that's going to be the big deal. But once this thing started, their ratings went through the roof.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was huge. And then it's been trending on Twitter the whole time.
Yep.
People are taking Simpsons selfies.
Wow.
Ben and I took one. I never uploaded it, though.
What is people like
pictures of themselves in front of their TV watching.
I love it. I love when the country comes together like that.
Yeah, and
like
it just shows just how that show was impenetrable for 10 years.
Amazing.
We were playing this game where I would turn it on right at the half hour mark and not pull up the info. And, you know, they don't have titles.
Yeah.
And I just go, which one is this? And see if I could get it within three jokes. And I almost always did. And then as soon as I got it, I was like, but well, this is a great one. So we're going to watch it.
Right.
And how many hours is this? If you watch like continuous, like how many?
It's 552 episodes and the movie, and it's taking 13 days straight.
That's insane.
So no repeats. Yeah. No breaks for infomercials, just round the clock. If they're showing Mr. Plow at 2 in the morning, that's when you got to watch
it.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's like they have commercial breaks like a normal television.
Yeah, each episode's still a half an hour. They have the commercial breaks where they had them on Fox.
But it's fucking 13 days
and days
Simpsons.
And days and days. And it did, you know, it did experience the drop-off right where you think the drop-off's going to be. Yeah. But
wow, so Swiffer's like, we got to get in during the baseball episode. Yeah. Right. Come on, baseball. Come on, Radioactive Man movie. Come on, Bart Sells His Soul. Yeah.
Yeah, and now they've announced that it's going to end on Labor Day, which I'm sure they planned out. But starting Tuesday, they're going to show like 4 hours a day because it's done so well that they're just like, all right, 8 Simpsons every day.
That's incredible.
And unbelievable.
I've just enjoyed the hell out of watching it. Even the later ones, because the later ones I've only seen once.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't know what Homer's going to do.
Yeah, because you said those aren't even on DVD, right?
No, the DVD is like 10 years behind. So they stopped doing the ones that are on DVD like Thursday.
Wow.
So it's just most of these I've seen once because I never quit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mark? Oh, okay. I got a few things. I'm a big smoothie nut. I love smoothies.
Oh, man, I love smoothies, too.
I just love the idea of eating and walking through a straw. Eating through a straw is fun to me.
I love Jamba Juice. I'm a big Jamba Juice.
Love it. I love it. I can put protein in there. I can put whatever. Just mix it
Vitamins.
Yeah. Vitamins, yeah. So I bought a Black & Decker blender because I was like, oh, Black & Decker, they're good. Shut out on me. Just stop mixing. I had everything. I had bananas in there, cherries, french fries, everything in there. And it just...
Tax returns.
Yeah. I hit the button. Nothing happened. And I was like, what the fuck is this? And I was pissed. I got on the phone. I tried to return it. They wouldn't take it back. It cost me $30. So I said, fuck you. I threw it in the garbage. I went to PC and Richards or whatever the place is called in New York.
PC Richards and Son, yes.
And I said, I'm not going to be stingy. I'm buying the best blender they have. I bought a Ninja.
A ninja.
Yeah, and it's got three blades, one up top, one in the middle, one at the bottom. I could put a brick of gold in this thing, and it would liquefy it.
That is awesome.
I love this fucking ninja. I'm putting shoes in there, whatever. I could just grind a guitar down if I just left it open. Just put the neck in first. It's like a wood chipper.
How much was it?
It was like $109.
I think I might get that.
I spent $70 more, and this thing, I can shit on it, and it won't care. You know, so,
well, shit blends really well.
That's true. That was a bad example. But, yeah, I could just put my arm in there, and it would chop my arm off. So, yeah, so that's one. Also, I have trouble sleeping. So I used to take Tylenol PMs to, like, knock myself out. And somebody told me that's really bad for you because you're just taking medicine for no reason. So now I take melatonin.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Good. It's all natural. You pop it in. You go right out. There's no groggy.
It's Unisom.
Yeah.
The only warning I ever got about that from my doctor was if you take it every day, your body will adapt to the elevated levels.
Yes.
And then you won't be able to sleep without it.
You have to, like, increase
Basically, you build it. You can build a tolerance to it. But that's the only problem.
The nights I don't use it, I drink heavily.
Oh, so there you go.
I even it out. The drinking puts me to bed those nights and the melatonin the other night. And my third thing is my podcast.
Oh, there we go.
Cheap plug. It's called Tuesdays with Stories. And we just have comics on that come tell stories of the road or crazy childhood, whatever. And yeah, it's doing pretty well. We're on iTunes. Check it out.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So thanks for having me.
And how can we reach you online?
Oh, sure. Also, buy my album.
Yeah, the album name is?
Album's called Still Got It. It's my first album, so that was...
Which I'm proud to say I still receive that message every year on my birthday.
You're damn right you do.
If you are Mark Norman's friend, he will tell you still got it on your birthday.
Every year.
That's awesome.
I never miss a day.
No, you don't.
I don't. I did it today. It was like a little homework thing I do every day. Like 15 birthdays. Good God. So yeah, check out my album. It's on iTunes. And find me on Twitter at Mark Norm. One word, MARKNORM. And check out my website, marknormancomedy.com.
Awesome. You can follow me at Not In My Book on Twitter. That's the official podcast feed. We got a lot of new followers after the panel, which was really cool.
Yeah,
like the Chicago geek community is starting to know we're here. And,
good.
And really happy to know you guys are there as well. And like us on Facebook. Mark, you should like us on Facebook.
Because
we post all these news stories that have been shocking you for the last hour.
Are you guys just reading blogs all day? I mean, how do you know this stuff?
I follow a lot of the news feeds on Facebook. I'm on Facebook way too much.
Yeah, I'm on it too much.
And it's mostly because everybody in New York, I know. It's like Twitter, my Twitter feed, for the most part, is people I respect. So it's like I got Albert Brooks, Steve Martin.
I
got Simpson writers, like guys whose jokes I like.
Uh-huh.
And then on Facebook, it's guys I know. And it's a lot of comics, so I'm still getting jokes.
Guys you don't respect.
Yeah, like you and Drucker and Mike Lawrence. But that's how I get most of the news, and then following a lot of the comic sites and a lot of the pop culture sites. But then when we find an article like that, we immediately post it on our Facebook page.
Oh, great. I'll love to check
that
out.
Yeah, so we keep it spread out. And Steven?
I'm at 19 South LaGrange Road, Chimera's Comics.
I got to say, Steve, when John was like, yeah, I do my podcast with a guy who owns a comic book store, I was picturing the guy from The Simpsons.
I always like when people picture that, because then it feels like...
Because you're not that.
I guess it's like, surprise, motherfuckers! It's like, I'm not what you think I am.
Yeah, you're like a strapping guy, good-looking guy with like a full head of hair.
You guys are actually fairly similar looking.
We got a similar look.
You both got the black curly hair.
Yep.
You remember the black t-shirt?
What are you, a German?
I'm an Irish.
Oh, you're not? You're a black Irish.
Black Irish, okay. Yeah. Yeah, I'm a white guy, but I'm black Irish.
Right. Weird term, black
Irish.
It is
a weird term.
Yeah.
I feel like this is the point to end.
Sure, when it's weird and racial.
Right. Caffeinated Comics is a Not In My Book production.